بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. And this is a series of lessons that we have had for quite a long time on An-Nawawi's 40 hadith. Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, as you know, was one of the famous scholars of hadith in the 7th, 8th century Hijrah, and he is the author of this particular book, the 40 hadith which he compiled, and likewise Riyadu Salihin, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with. It's a collection of hadith in lots of different chapters to do with manners and beliefs and morals and so on and so forth. And this particular book, An-Nawawi's 40 hadith, is one of the most important books that the scholars of Islam, that they recommend that a Muslim, that he learn these ahadith, he memorize them even, and he understand the principles and the teachings that these ahadith contain, because they essentially comprise the entire religion. And Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, when he brought these ahadith together, he chose very, very specific hadith for a very specific purpose, you know, which explain essentially the entirety of Islam. So we're on hadith number 27. As I said, these lessons have been going for quite a while. But we're on hadith number 27. And so what we normally do in these lessons is that we take a number of explanations from the scholars. We're using the explanation of Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, and Sheikh Salih al-Sheikh hafizahullah, and also from Imam An-Nawawi himself, his own comments, Ibn Daqiq al-Eid rahimahullah, his comments. So we take the explanations of the different scholars and basically just present them as, you know, as part of the lesson. So this hadith number 27, is narrated by An-Nawas ibn Sam'an radiyallahu anhu, one of the companions. And he narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Al-birru husnul khuluq wal-ithmu ma haaka fi nafsika wa karihta an yattali'a alayhi an-nas. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gave a definition of two things. He said, Al-birr is what we would translate as righteousness. Al-birr is good manners, husnul khuluq, to have good manners. And al-ithm, which is sinfulness, so these are two opposites. Righteousness, which is al-birr, and sinfulness, which is al-ithm. He said, al-ithm is whatever is, it's like a restlessness inside your soul. Something moving in your soul that doesn't allow you to feel comfortable. And which you dislike that the people should know about you. That's where he gave the definition of what is al-ithm. So the second hadith, because An-Nawawi in this section, he included two hadith in this section. The second hadith is from another companion, Wabisa bin Ma'bad, radiyallahu anhu. And he said that I came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said, and the Messenger said to him, it's as if the Messenger knew why he came. So the Messenger said, have you come to ask about al-birr? Again, al-birr, righteousness. And this companion said, yes. And so the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he replied and he said, istafti qalbak. He said, seek, basically return back to your heart. Go back to your heart. And al-birr is whatever your soul feels comfortable with, is at ease with, and which your heart feels at ease with, is comfortable with. And al-ithm ma haaka fi nafs wa taraddada fi sadr, that al-ithm is what, again, it's restlessness in your soul, and which goes to and fro in your chest, meaning like wavering and doubt and uncertainty, and you feel uncomfortable with it. وَإِنْ أَفْتَاكَ النَّاسُ وَأَفْتَوْكَ. even if the people give you their opinion in favor of it, and they keep giving you their opinion. So this hadith, the Shaykh says that this hadith is hadith Hassan. It's reported by Ahmad bin Hanbal and Ad-Darimi with Isnad Hassan. So first of all, the explanation from the scholars, then the Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he says, so we systematically explain, go through the words of the hadith. He said, first of all, al-birr, this word al-birr, which is righteousness, then in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned both of these things, al-birr and al-ithm. Because Allah says at the beginning of Surah Al-Ma'idah, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. So he said, cooperate, now this is a command to the Muslims, cooperate upon what is birr, which is righteousness, and taqwa, and do not cooperate upon that which is ithm and udwan. So this is established in the Quran, al-birr and al-ithm. And in these two hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained and defined and clarified what is al-birr and what is al-ithm. So al-birr, the Shaykh goes on to explain, al-birr is a word which implies lots of goodness. Lots of goodness. Whatever is goodness and lots of that goodness. This is the meaning of al-birr. And then he says that when the Messenger said in the first hadith that al-birr is husnul khuluq, which means to have excellent manners and excellent behavior and excellent mannerisms, the Shaykh says that this is divided into two types or into two different ways of applying it. First of all, it refers that it means that you have husnul khuluq, good mannerisms with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first thing. The second thing is that you have good manners with the people around you. So husnul khuluq here does not just mean just to the people, rather it means the good mannerisms with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh explains each of these two. So he says, as for showing good behavior and good mannerisms with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it means that you accept His rulings with ar-ridha, meaning that you are pleased with whatever Allah has legislated, and with at-tasleem, that you submit to whatever Allah has legislated. Right? So your heart is open to what Allah has legislated. You accept it with submission, you are pleased with it, and there isn't any hatred or dislike or aversion in your heart towards whatever Allah has revealed. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, commands you with the prayer, for example, or giving the zakah, or the fasting, or any other of the pillars, or any of the other aspects of Islam, then your heart should come towards it. You should have an open chest towards whatever Allah has commanded. And if you find in yourself that there is, you know, you have an aversion or a dislike or anything of this nature to anything from what you know for sure is from Islam, then this is really su'ul adab. This is bad mannerisms towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not husnul khuluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the second, so this is the first thing. This is the first way, and the second way in which you show good mannerisms towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there's two ways. One which is towards His sharia, which is the one that we've just covered. And the second one is towards His qadr. Whatever Allah has decreed from His qadr that will happen to you in your life. So with respect to that, then, because we know the Shaykh says that a person is not always happy in his life. You know, sometimes he's sad, he grieves, he has a grievance, harm comes to him, hardship comes to him, difficulty comes to him, death comes to him, like in his family and relatives, whatever, loss of wealth comes to him. All these things come to a person. And so it proves that a person's life is not always one of happiness. Right? He always has these issues with him. And all of these issues come from Allah's qadr. So also from the angle of showing good manners towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that when these things come to you, meaning that you have some sort of loss or sadness or misery in terms of your wealth, so you lose wealth, or in terms of your family, so you lose someone from your family, or you have an illness or something of that nature, or in yourself, your own self, so it means again like an illness or some calamity or hardship or whatever, or in your society even, the place in which you live and your people and your society, then whenever something comes to you in respect to that, then you have to have patience upon that, and you continue to abide by what Allah has commanded you, and you continue to keep away from what Allah has prohibited you from. All of this is from the good manners towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of al-qadr. So, to summarize, when we speak of good mannerisms towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is divided into two things. The first of them is towards His sharia, in that you accept with full submission, with an open heart, whatever Allah has revealed to be from the religion, whether it is in terms of beliefs, whether it is in terms of rulings, or whatever else. Right? So for example, if you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered the giving of zakah, 2.5% from your wealth, then your heart should be open, and it should be happy and pleased with whatever Allah has. You shouldn't feel resentful and dislike the fact that Allah has asked you to part from your wealth. And likewise, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, for argument's sake, specified a punishment for a specific crime, say for example stealing, or say for example slander, like when you slander a woman, a chaste, pious woman, of something that she is free of, and Allah has specified a punishment for that, of flogging or whatever, and likewise for all the other various crimes for which Allah has specified a punishment, then in your heart and in your soul, you should not have any aversion or resentment or dislike or anything of that nature. Why? Because whatever Allah has revealed is from justice, it is from wisdom, it is that which is which contains the most good for the society. So this is towards the whatever Allah has come in the sharia of Allah, whether it is beliefs, or whether it is statements, or whether it is actions. So a Muslim's heart is open and accepted with taslim, which is submission, and rida, which is pleasure. If a Muslim was to have hatred in his heart towards anything which Allah has revealed, this would nullify his Islam. Because hatred in your heart is something which nullifies and contradicts whatever belief you may have. So to hate anything which is kurh, which is dislike and hatred of whatever Allah has revealed, this is one of the nullifiers of Islam. One of the nawaqid is something that would nullify your Islam. So if, for example, even if you acted upon it, so for example, if for example, you know that Allah has prohibited interest, and in your actions, you don't take interest, but in your heart, you hate the fact that Allah has prohibited interest. You dislike it, you hate it, and you know that Allah has prohibited interest, but you hate that, then that hatred in your heart is major kufr. It is disbelief. It takes you outside of the fold of Islam. Even if you acted upon that prohibition. And likewise, same thing with the zakah. If Allah ordered you with zakah, and you gave the zakah without fail, every time, but in your heart there is resentment and hatred and dislike of giving zakah, then that would be disbelief. That would be major disbelief, even if you acted upon the zakah and never ever failed to give the zakah. So the issue being here that from the husnul khuluq, from the good mannerisms to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that you accept everything that Allah has revealed, and you accept it with submission, and you accept it with pleasure, and you find no aversion in your heart towards what Allah has revealed. Now there's another issue here, which is there is another type of dislike which isn't like the dislike we just mentioned. Because sometimes a Muslim can feel towards some of the acts of worship, maybe for example he finds it difficult or hard to do some of the acts of worship, like maybe Hajj, or maybe something where there's hardship and difficulty, and you know, maybe there's some sort of financial hardship, or maybe there's some kind of physical hardship, and his soul fears and dislikes that hardship. This dislike here is different to the other dislike we mentioned before. Because the first dislike, when you dislike that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered the zakah, or you dislike that Allah has prohibited interest, or you dislike that Allah has prohibited drinking. This here, you are disliking the command or the prohibition itself. This is kufr, this is disbelief. But if in your heart you find that there's a dislike of something in which there may be something of harm to you or loss to you in a certain, like for example, you have fear in your heart that when you go to Hajj, maybe you'll be harmed. Maybe, you know, maybe you might be robbed. Maybe you might become trampled, or maybe some other kind of difficulty or hardship that comes to you, and your soul, you find a dislike of that. This is different to what we mentioned previously. They're not the same thing. So we don't confuse between these two things. We've got to be clear about that. So, as we said, when you have husnul khuluq ma'allah, with Allah, then you accept His sharia with taslim and with rida, with submission and with pleasure, and at the same time, with respect to Allah's qadr, whatever Allah's decreed, and whatever comes to you of harm, or difficulty, or hardship in your life, or in your family, or in your wealth, or in your society, then you accept it with taslim, and you continue to have sabr, and you continue to worship Allah, doing that which is wajib upon you, and keeping away from that which is haram upon you. And all of this is from husnul khuluq ma'allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is as it relates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How about now the creation? How do you have husnul khuluq with the creation? And the Shaykh explains, and this is taken from Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah. Al-Hasan al-Basri was one from the very early scholars, from the righteous early scholars. And so he gave a definition of husnul khuluq, and he said that husnul khuluq is, or he explained it as, kaful adha wa badhlun nadha wa talaqatul wajh. So he said that good mannerisms and behavior with the people has three components. First of all, that whatever harm, that you keep harm away from the people. So your harm, it doesn't reach the people. That's the first component. You don't allow anything from you to harm people beside you. The second component is that you are generous. Generosity. You're generous. And the third component of good mannerisms with the people is that you come to them with a pleasing countenance. Meaning like a pleasing, happy face and an appearance. And you come to them in this manner. And then the Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, he goes on to explain each of these three. So inshallah we'll look at that now in some detail. So as for the first one, to make sure that no harm, that whatever harm you keep, you don't let your harm reach the people. So he said, the meaning of this is that a person, whatever harm that might arise from him, that he keeps it to himself. Right, so irrespective of whether this harm, for example, is in terms of wealth, so he wrongfully takes somebody else's wealth. And this can be in many different ways. He overcharges him, or he just steals from him, or he deceives him, or whatever. So, firstly, in relation to wealth. Or in relation to his person, the actual physical body. So you don't harm anybody in their physical body. Or you beat them, you strike them, you injure them in whatever way. You make sure your harm does not reach the people. And this would include things like being irresponsible, you know, dropping bottles on the floor, or being responsible in the way you drive, or whatever else. All of that is a means through which your harm can reach other people. So you withhold from harming other people in that manner. Or whether it relates to someone's honor. So you attack someone's honor. You revile him, you abuse him, you slander him with something which is not within him. Or you lie about him. Or you mock him or whatever. So all of this is in terms of his honor. So we said, in terms of wealth, in terms of a person's physical body, and in terms of a person's honor. So you do not allow any harm to come to someone besides you in any of these three ways. And then the Shaykh says that any person who does not prevent this harm from reaching the people, then this person he doesn't have husnul khuluq, he has sayyi'il khuluq. That he has evil mannerisms. He has evil manners. Then The Sheikh brings the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He basically explains in wording that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he explained the hurma, which is the sanctity of a Muslim, and that a Muslim, his person, his body, his wealth and his honor is inviolable, meaning that you cannot violate his sanctity. So you can't harm him in his wealth, you can't harm him in his honor, and you can't harm him in his person. And the Sheikh then went on to mention the hadith. He says that the Messenger said, indeed, your blood and your wealth and your honors upon you are haram. It is haram. Inna dima'akum wa amwalakum wa a'radakum alikum haram. Just like this day, and this is on the day of Arafah, just like this day of ours, or this day of yours, in this month of yours, in this city of yours. So this is the day of Arafah, in the month of Dhul Hijjah, in the town of Makkah. Just like this land, and this month, and this day is sanctified, is inviolable, then likewise the blood, the wealth, and the honor of a Muslim. And then the Shaykh goes on and he says, when a man, for example, he transgresses amongst the people, he takes their wealth, or he deceives the people, or he's treacherous towards the people with khiyana, he's treacherous towards them in his behavior, or for example, he beats them, or he commits crimes against them, or he, you know, reviles them and makes ghiba and namima and so on and so forth, then this person, the Shaykh says, this person is not someone who has husnul khuluq. Right? This person has evil manners. Then the Shaykh says as well, that there's also a level and a degree. So for example, if a person is bad towards his parents, then that is worse than if he was bad towards other people. Right? So there are degrees. So when one is evil and shows bad manners towards his parents, this is worse than when he shows it to his close relatives. And when he shows it to his close relatives, like for example, he speaks ill about them, or he takes wealth from them unlawfully or whatever, then that is worse with respect to his relatives than it is to the people who are not from his relatives. So again, we have different levels where this can take place. And then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in a hadith in which he said, basically he explained that a person lacks iman, is deficient in his iman, who falls into these things. He said, by Allah, he does not believe. By Allah, he does not believe. By Allah, he does not believe. So he said three times, and he negated iman from a person. So the companion said, who, O Messenger of Allah? Who, O Messenger of Allah? And so he replied, the one from whom his neighbor does not feel secure from his harm. So if you have a neighbor and your neighbor is always fearful that maybe you're going to do something, you're going to do something harmful to him, you know, say for example, he's going to take your milk for argument's sake, or he's going to do something and he feels like this about you, or he's going to throw his rubbish over onto your side, or he's going to do something where you feel some harm from him, and you feel that towards your neighbor, then that is a sign that you do not have complete faith. I mean, if your neighbors don't feel secure and safe in the knowledge that you will not bring them any harm, if they have something to fear and they have this fear, then it means there's something deficient in your iman, in your faith. Now, this is the meaning of the hadith. So the first component of husnul khuluq ma'an nas, with the people, good manners with the people, is kaful adha, that you do not allow your harm to reach them in their wealth, or in their physical body, or in their property, or in their wealth. The second component is badhlun nada, which means to be generous. To be generous. And the Shaykh says that when we speak of generosity, being generous doesn't just mean in wealth, that you spend in charity, that you, you know, give the people from your wealth. Rather, it has a wider meaning. It means basically, it also includes, for example, to be generous, to in terms of your physical body, meaning expend efforts to help other people It means in terms of wealth also. It means in terms of knowledge as well. Being generous in terms of your knowledge. Being generous in terms of your companionship. Being generous in terms of your aid and assistance to other people in their hardships. This is from generosity. Just like it is from generosity to depart from your wealth and to give your wealth freely and openly in terms of charity or, you know, whatever, then all of these meanings are included within the second component, badlun nada, which is generosity. So the Shaykh says, for example, when you see a people, or when you see someone who is always aiding the people, you know, he finds that somebody maybe needs a lift to the airport, right? So he rushes to give him a lift to the airport. Or he finds, for example, someone, you know, he's in a bit of trouble, like his car's got stuck or whatever else it is, and he rushes to go and help him. So when you see someone always rushing, spending from his time, from his effort, from his resources to go and aid other people, this is what we mean by badlun nada. We mean by generosity. And this is what we mean by husnul khuluq. And then the Shaykh also explained that another aspect of the meaning of this is that when people do evil to you, that you do not return that evil with another evil. Rather, you return that evil with what we call al-afw, which is pardon. And this is commanded in the Quran, it's commanded in the Sunnah as well, in which the Messenger said, fear Allah wherever you may be, ittaqi Allah haythuma kunt, fear Allah wherever you may be, and always follow an evil deed with a good deed, and behave towards the people bi khuluqin hasan, with the best mannerisms. And likewise in the Quran, Allah mentions some of these qualities and characteristics of a person who is generous and who is, you know, who withholds from his evil reaching them. Allah says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah says that those, so he mentions some of the characteristics, those who spend in both secret and in public. So they give in charity, secretly and in public. And who control their anger. They control their anger, they control their rage and anger. And they pardon the people. They overlook the harms that the people have brought to them. And Allah indeed, He loves those who do good. And then Allah says in another ayah in the Quran, وَأَن تَعْفُوا أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى, that you pardon people for whatever wrongs they've done you is better and closer to at-taqwa, to fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, so these are some of the verses in the Quran. Another one, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, that whoever pardoned and forgave and then he rectified, then his reward is with Allah. So this shows that also from your generosity is that when you are wronged and somebody harms you or wrongs you in any way, that instead of returning that evil with another evil, that you rather you return it with pardon and forgiving and overlooking. And that this is what has been commanded in the Quran, and this is what is commanded in the Quran. As for there's a specific situation here now the Shaykh mentions that we should be clear about, which is that we have to make a distinction between, let's say there's a person who is generally a good person, his manners are good, correct, he's known to have, you know, good behavior, and he falls into a mistake, he harms you, he takes from your honor, or maybe he takes from your wealth, or he does something, he falls into something. Then this person, because what we can see from this person generally is good, then we return his evil with good. Right? So we pardon him, we overlook his fault, we ask Allah to forgive him, and so on and so forth. However, if we have another person, we know that this person is a thief, is a liar, he's known that he is someone who's a scoundrel, and he harms the people, and he doesn't think twice about it, right? He doesn't respect the people. And if this person harms you, now this is a different situation. Right? Now obviously, you know, to pardon and to forgive would be something that would just encourage that individual even more to keep doing whatever he's doing. Right? So we make a distinction that when we apply this particular aspect in our character and manner, meaning that we forgive the people and overlook the people, then it applies to certain things And it does not apply to other things. This is not absolute and general. So, as we said, if someone harms you in something, and you know that generally this person isn't like that, it's not from his quality, then you return that evil with good. And if it's from someone's behavior, that he's known to be someone who harms people, takes their honors, backbites them, slanders them, steals from them, harms them, and whatever, this person, then you don't overlook. Then obviously you take this issue so that the person can be dealt with, and, you know, so that this evil can be prevented. And then likewise, there's other areas where, for example, a person, he makes a mistake in the religion. So he says or he claims something about the religion which isn't correct. Or he propagates something about the religion that isn't from the religion, like the various innovations that we see. And then again, this person, then we don't say it's a mistake, let's forgive him, because this now is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? He's speaking without knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's introducing into the religion that which is not from the religion. So therefore, we have to correct that mistake and point it out and give advice to the one who made that mistake. So the point being that when we are speaking here about manners and behavior and husnul khuluq, we have to be clear that we don't distinguish and confuse different things which have to be separated. Right? So pay attention to these different aspects and situations. As for the third, so we've covered kaful adha, we've covered badlun nada. Now the third one, which is talaqatul wajh, which is that when you face the people, when you meet the people, when you meet your families, when you meet your children, when you meet whoever, the Muslims upon the street or whatever, then you basically meet them in a happy, with a good countenance, with a smile on the face, and you know, with this good type of impression. And the Shaykh mentions a hadith in which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do not belittle anything. لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا." Do not belittle anything from the ma'roof. The ma'roof, the definition of ma'roof, is anything which is considered good in the Sharia. Anything which Allah has considered, mentioned to be good or to be rewardable in the Quran and in the Sunnah, it is called ma'roof, whatever is ma'roof. So the Messenger said, do not belittle anything from the ma'roof, anything which is good. Even if it is that you meet your brother with a smiling face. Meet your brother with a smiling face, don't even belittle that. Even that is from the ma'roof, even that is good, even that is rewarded, even that is from ihsan, and so on and so forth. And then the Shaykh says that this talaqatul wajh, this meeting people with a nice, you know, countenance and a smiling face and so on and so forth, is something that brings about love, brings about mawadda, and it brings about open chests and open hearts towards the people. And then the Shaykh mentions, however, if you come to the people with a miserable face, and you know, all this does is it, you know, makes people to be, you know, they don't want to sit with each other, they don't want to talk to each other, and you know, the Shaykh says these kind of things lead towards depression. And with some people, it leads them towards depression, and it leads them towards illnesses and diseases. As opposed to, for example, having a smiling countenance and a happy attitude and a happy person, you know, this actually affects the health, as the Shaykh is mentioning here. And what the Shaykh has mentioned, in fact, is something that is true, and which, you know, the people who study these affairs about illness and health, they tell you that illness and health is often brought about by the person's state of mind, you know, and his character and his personality. And a person generally who is happy, and he is happy towards the people, and he keeps this atmosphere, then very rarely do these people get ill. And very rarely do these people suffer over long periods of time from illnesses. Rather, these people generally, they have long lives, they rarely suffer from illnesses. And this is because of the way that they, you know, keep their character, their personality, and so on and so forth. As for those people who are not like that, then the frame of mind that they keep, and the miserableness and the unhappiness, and the, you know, all these other qualities that come with it, then these people generally tend to find that they have illnesses, they live shorter, and they have illnesses and other types of, you know, whether they're physical or whether they're mental or whatever, and so on and so forth. So this is the point the Shaykh has made here, that a person who is always miserable, he doesn't expand his chest, he doesn't be happy, then this person, you know, he will be afflicted with diseases, marad. And he mentions in particular here depression. So this is what the Shaykh mentions regarding husnul khuluq ma'an nas, which is, it is composed of three things, and this is from Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, that you withhold your evil from reaching other people, that you are generous. And generous, as we said, isn't just in terms of money. It is in everything. In your time, your wealth, even in your knowledge. If you have knowledge of something, of the religion, then you are generous with that knowledge of the religion. If you have knowledge in other things, you are generous towards a Muslim with that knowledge, which will benefit them in the life of this world. So if you know something, for example, which is beneficial for a Muslim in earning his living or in his health, from the affairs and from the knowledge of the dunya, then you are generous towards him. You give from that knowledge to him. You don't withhold it. Just like you don't withhold the knowledge of the religion. And likewise, in aid and support in the worldly affairs. And thirdly, talaqatul wajh, which we just mentioned, all of this is from husnul khuluq ma'an nas. So to summarize so far, we said, based upon this hadith, al-birr husnul khuluq, we've covered the first part of the hadith only. Because the Messenger said, Al-Birr Husnul Khuluq. Al-Birr, or righteousness, is Husnul Khuluq. And Husnul Khuluq, as we said, is... So what is Husnul Khuluq? Does somebody want to... What is Husnul Khuluq? Question, anybody want to... What did we say, first of all, is... With Allah. That's good. So first of all, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it takes place in two ways. What are those two ways? First of all, in terms of his sharia, with his sharia. And this means that we accept with taslim, with submission, his sharia and everything that he revealed, and we are pleased with it. And secondly, it is with respect to what? Al-Qadr. Whatever comes to us from Allah's decree, that we behave with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we, whenever something comes to us, we have sabr, and we continue to worship Allah and have sabr upon His worship and upon obedience to Him and keep away from His disobedience. And as for the creation, then what are the three things that make up husnul khuluq with the creation? First of all, it is kaful adha. We do not harm. We don't reach our harm. Let our harm reach the people. The second one was, that's right, generosity, that we are generous to the people in all these different ways. And the third one is, that's right, yeah, alhamdulillah, that we meet the people with smiling faces and with, you know, with giving salam and so on and so forth, and we don't have this miserable attitude, and because this only makes the people, the society, to become, you know, split off from each other and to inherit diseases, and, you know, this is no good. So then we move on now then, alhamdulillah, we've completed the first. This was explanation of the first two words of the hadith. Al-birr, husnul khuluq. Now we move on to the second part, which is al-ithm. What is al-ithm? Sinfulness. What is sinfulness? And the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave us a definition, and he said, al-ithmu ma haaka fi nafsika wa karihta an yattali'a alayhi an-nas. That ithm is... What it moves around in your soul, it makes you restless inside your soul, and which you hate that the people should know about you. So here the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, he has given us a guideline for us to help us to understand whether something, should we do that thing or should we not do that thing. Meaning an issue comes to us, it's doubtful, you know, it's from the mutashabihat, we're not clear, we're not sure. And then so the Messenger has given us a guideline as to how to deal with that thing. Right? And this is the guideline he's given to us. So the Shaykh mentions that, so he now explains this hadith and he says that this criterion here, this guideline, that when something comes to us and the Messenger has said that, you know, that sinfulness is something which moves about in your soul and which you would not like the people to know about you. The Shaykh says that this guideline here only applies to a person, to a Muslim, whose heart is clean and pure. Because it is only this person who will have a conscience. You know, he will, in his heart will be such that his heart will be able to recognize whether something is sinful or not sinful. As for the person, as the Shaykh explained, someone who is mutamarrid, someone who is persistent in disobedience to Allah, he disobeys Allah, and whose person's heart is hardened and blackened by sins and disobedience and by crimes and whatever, and this person, you know, he does all sorts of munkar and evil, and this criterion does not apply to this person. It's like, for example, when you have a thief, there's a thief, and he's thinking, there's a situation come to him, and he's thinking, right, shall I mug that woman, or shall I not mug that woman? And he's thinking, he's thinking inside his soul, shall I do, shall I do, shall I do? Now obviously this hadith is not talking about this thief. We can't say this criterion here applies to this thief, you know, because this thief might think, you know what, I'm tended towards mugging this woman. Not because, well, this woman is defenseless, she's got a handbag, there's nobody present, so there's no hesitation, yeah, I should do it. So this criterion here, what the Messenger is speaking about, is only for the people of Iman, with clean hearts, with purity and a clean soul. Right? This is for them. Not for someone who is involved in sin and disobedience, and he's engrossed upon that, and whose heart is evil and blackened. No, rather, it's for someone whose heart is saleem, meaning safe and secure, and tahir, meaning it is pure. This is who this criterion is for. And so then the Shaykh says that, again, that this principle here that the Messenger has mentioned, we should only take it as a guideline. It is not a rule. So there's a difference, so you have to pay attention to this. There's a difference between a dhabit, which is a guideline, and a qa'idah. A qa'idah is a rule and a principle. So this hadith, where the Messenger said that ithm is whatever moves around in your soul and you don't like the you don't want the people to know about you, isn't a rule. It's not a qa'idah. Rather, it's a general guideline. Because, as we will see, inshallah, as we continue through this hadith, that a Muslim can sometimes be faced with a situation where he's not sure of something, he's not sure about it, whether this is correct for him to do or not correct for him to do, but he's ignorant of the fact that in the sunnah there is a clear hadith that says that this is birr, this is something good, or that this is something which is ithm, this is sinful. So he doesn't have knowledge of that. But in his heart thinks, shall I do it, not do it? And his heart maybe thinks, okay, maybe I shouldn't do it. But there's a hadith which says, this is correct, this is good. So for this reason, the Shaykh has explained that we do not take this thing here that the Messenger has mentioned in this hadith as a qa'idah. A qa'idah is something which is absolutely the case, it is absolutely the rule, it is absolutely the principle in everything. This is a qa'idah. Whereas a dhabit is just like a general guideline. It's not necessarily always the case, but you can use it as a general guideline to understand whether something will this be sinful for me, or will this be, you know, okay for me. Right? So we need to understand and be very, very clear about this, that when the Messenger says here that ithm is whatever moves about in your soul that you feel uncomfortable with and which you dislike the people to know about you, then when you come to a situation about which you don't have knowledge, then you use this as a guideline to determine whether you should do that or not do that. Right? So this is how we understand this particular hadith. It is not an absolute rule. So then the Shaykh continues to mention the benefits. What are the benefits from this hadith? What are the benefits that we've learned? So he says, first of all, the first benefit that we learned from this hadith is that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has been given what we call Jawami al-Kalim. This means that the Messenger has been given with this ability to mention very deep meanings and comprehensive meanings by using only a few words. In the sense that the Messenger might only say two words, but the meaning is vast. And this is one example of that. Right? That the Messenger has been given the comprehensiveness in words, the conciseness in words, which have a great meaning. So he said, Al-Birr Husnul Khuluq. And as you can see, that carries a great, you know, great deal of meaning. Secondly, is that in this hadith is a proof that the Messenger has encouraged us to have good manners, has encouraged us to have good manners with the people, and that if you improve your manners and you improve your behavior in accordance with what is in this hadith, then you are the one who is upon birr, a birr which is righteousness. The next thing the Shaykh mentions is that he makes another important clarification, which we should pay attention to as well, is that he says, the question now is, what about getting angry? Is anger, if a person becomes angry, and he becomes angry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then does this contradict husnul khuluq? Right? So if a person became angry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does this mean that he's deficient in his manners and in his behavior? And the answer to this question is, the answer is no. If you become angry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sense that you see someone is committing sin, right? He's stealing, gambling, fornicating, drinking, whatever it might be, and you become angry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this itself is from husnul khuluq, ma'allah. That you become angry with what Allah is angry with. Or if you see someone falling into innovations, that which is bid'ah in the religion, innovation in the religion, so he speaks with certain beliefs. Like for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in every place, in everything, which is an evil belief. Or he, you know, speaks with other things which contradict the Islamic belief, or anything of that nature. Then, if you become angry for the sake of Allah with respect to those issues, then this is from husnul khuluq ma'allah. This is from the good mannerisms towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so becoming angry for the sake of Allah, then this is husnul khuluq ma'allah. But as for becoming angry for something else, for something other than Allah, then we see in the behavior of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this was his behavior, that whenever he would be wronged personally, then he would never seek revenge when it related to himself. But however, when the sanctities of Allah, meaning the maharim of Allah, meaning those things which a person should not go into, those things that Allah has prohibited, when people violated them, then he would become angry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was the most severest of people in respect to becoming angry for the sake of Allah for those issues. So we make a distinction then, is that anger in and of itself, if it is for the sake of Allah, then it is from good manners towards Allah. As for other things, like the worldly things, then it is better that you do not become angry for, you know, things which are done to you. This is the best situation. It doesn't mean that it is haram or prohibited to become angry. Like for example, someone comes and maybe, you know, he harms you or whatever, then becoming angry, it's natural to become angry. There's nothing wrong with that. You can become angry. But the ideal situation is that if you can prevent becoming angry, and for example, understand that this is from Allah's qadr and his qada, and you accept it and you have sabr and so forth, and you don't show any anger, this is the best situation. This is mustahab if you can do this. But other than that, it is better to try not to become angry, because the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another hadith to a man who came to the Messenger and said, "Advise me, give me advice." And so the Messenger said, "La taghdab," do not become angry. And he repeated it three times, "Do not become angry, do not become angry." So this shows that anger in and of itself generally is not from the characteristic of a believer. Don't become angry, control the anger. But this doesn't mean that it's absolutely haram, because there are certain situations where you might become angry. For example, you might become angry with, you know, as we said, someone who might harm you or disobey you, your children might disobey you, you can become angry, you know, but again, within limits. So this is how we understand anger as it relates to husnul khuluq with Allah and with the creation. The third benefit is that a Muslim who has a clean heart, a pure heart, then when a situation comes to him and he's not sure, is this haram, is this halal, should I do this, should I not do this, then whatever he feels in his heart, then inshallah he should take that as a general guideline to avoid becoming sinful. So he should leave that thing up until it becomes clear to him. He can go and ask a scholar. You can go and ask a person of knowledge. You can go and find out that whether this thing is right or what is not right. And then we see in another hadith where the Messenger, alayhi salam, he said, leave that which makes you doubt for that which does not make you doubt. Okay? And the next benefit, or the fourth benefit, inshallah, what we'll do is, as we've come to the end of the time, okay. Well, we'll continue, shall we? We have another 5 minutes. We'll continue with the next point that the Shaykh makes, which is that the fourth benefit from this hadith is that a believer is that from his characteristics is that he does not want or he does not like that the other people should become aware of and be able to see his sinful deeds. He doesn't like displaying his sinful deeds to other people because the Messenger said, وَقَرِحْتَ أَن يَطَّلِعَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ, that you dislike that the people should become aware of it about you, meaning that you are doing such and such a thing. And the Shaykh then says, as for a man, a rajul who is fajir, al-mutamarrid, a man who is an evil, sinful, persistent, evil man, then we see that from the qualities of these people is that they have no, you know, they have no shame. They don't hate that other people should see their evil deeds. And the Shaykh then gives an example. He says, rather from some of the people, you see that these people even boast. They boast and they are full of pride about the sin that they've committed. So these people, he says, you will see the sinful people, they will go to a certain city or town, they will travel there, and they will commit all sorts of fujur, they'll commit all sorts of sin and drink the khumur, start drinking, whatever. Then we'll come back to the Muslim land and you'll start boasting. You'll start saying, you know, that he committed such and such shameful deed with so many women, or he did drank so many, you know, bottles or glasses of this or whatever. And so this evil, this what is evil, it's as if it has become what is good to this person in the manner that he's boasting about his thing. The Shaykh says this person, when we find a person like this person really, he is belittling the ahkam of Allah. He's belittling the rules and the laws of Allah. And if this person was in a Muslim country and doing this openly, boasting that I did this and this act and I did this and that, he's boasting, then his repentance should be sought. He should be made to repent. Otherwise, wa illa qutil, as the Shaykh says, he should be, you know, he should be the qadi or the judge. Then he should be put to death for his evil. Because why? When he does this and he comes in a society and he starts boasting about this evil sin and that evil sin which he does, then basically he's beautifying these sins to the people. He's beautifying them to the people. And he's drawing the people towards his sin. And because he's belittling the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh says, because this is mockery, this is making a mockery of the deen of Allah. And anything which is a mockery of the deen of Allah, the Shaykh says, that when a person boasts about it in this manner, then this is, you know, this is disbelief. And so he comes to the end of the benefits of the first hadith, and inshallah, in fact, this is the end of the Shaykh's discussion on the first hadith. Now the Shaykh moves on to the second hadith, the hadith of Wabisa, inshallah. So what we'll do is we will stop the lesson here, and because he's going to start the new hadith, we will leave that inshallah ta'ala for the next lesson and continue with this explanation from the Shaykh. And we will also look at the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Shaykh. So inshallah ta'ala, we'll be able to finish that in the next lesson, which will be next week. So with that, shall we close the lesson here today. I believe we have to leave the premises by 6:30. So inshallah ta'ala, if you know, we'll just have enough time to get out. So inshallah, maybe if there's any questions, we can do it in the next session. Any questions on anything which has been said, we'll leave for the next session inshallah ta'ala. But for now, jazakumullahu khairan for attending, and inshallah we'll continue next week inshallah ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If you could just, I'll just give some assistance just to put the chairs together and put them to the side, and inshallah ta'ala, so we can leave in time, because we have to be out of here by 6:30.